the background music of Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And it is program number 536 in that continuing series as you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. And there you go, our theme wrapped up right there. Musicians Come and Play with Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks. We're now at 10 degrees below zero, sunshine here in central Minnesota, but a chilly day to say the least. We have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Art Ojado. Art, how are you doing?
I'm just fine, Si. How are you this morning?
Very, very good. You're sounding very good, Art, and sounding good and strong. And we're just glad the Concertina Bowl isn't today, huh?
Yeah.
It'd be a little chilly.
We've been through some tough ones, but we've never been shut out by the weatherman yet.
Well, that's good, and that's really true. And so last year was my first opportunity to attend it. I really, really enjoyed it, and we're planning to come down again on Saturday, like I always say, good Lord willing. But Art, before we get into the Concertina Bowl, folks like to know who you are and how you got started in music. Didn't you start out up in this country up this way?
Well, I grew up about 3 miles northwest of Elmdale.
Elmdale, that's what I thought, yeah. And go to school up in this country too then?
Yeah, went to country school for 7 years, I guess, and then eighth grade I went to Uppsala, and I graduated from Uppsala High School.
Okay, all right. And did you, you learned to play the concertina, but did you take any other music in school as you were going to school?
Well, I started out playing trumpet, and I kind of liked that, but back in that day, I don't know how it is now, but... Of course, a long time ago, you had to have your grades up to be able to be in band.
Yeah.
Well, one of the tuba players didn't keep his grades up, and so he had to sit out there 1 6-week period, and I asked the instructor, that was Don Anger, if I could try the tuba. Well, 6 weeks went by, and the other guy was back on, and so I was out. But then come next fall, there's a brand-new tuba there for Art Ojado to play.
So. Oh, nice. So you're an accomplished tuba player as well then, huh?
Well, I wouldn't say I was accomplished, but I did okay back then. And, got some pretty decent grades in the band contests and things like that.
Well, good. Good for you.
It was a lot of fun, although sometimes I wonder if I wouldn't maybe should have stayed on the trumpet, you know?
Yeah, you never know.
It'd be nice to play everything.
Yep. So along with music, did you do something else for work then, or did you go on to school after high school, or what did you do?
No, I started out in college, but I didn't, I don't know. I just wanted to work. I didn't want to stay in school for some reason, and... I worked in ceramic tile trade for about 15 years.
Okay.
And then I sold water softeners for a couple of years. And that was good, but I don't know. I wasn't satisfied. And then I sold real estate for about 35 years.
Oh, okay. Very good.
So.
Very good. And along the way, you figured out to play some concertina too then, huh?
Well, yeah, yeah. Actually, I didn't really start until, we got married in 63.
Uh-huh.
And my wife's sister had a little concertina that she didn't use, and she said I could use it, so I started monkeying with that. And, I basically taught myself. I had a lot of help from Gordy Lurkey, always helped me a lot. You
sure.
Know, and I can tell you a lot of times. I used to say that I would steal lessons from people because I never actually had a lesson.
Uh huh.
But kept on and kept on. And, well, got better at it. I never got as good as I wanted to be, but I suppose nobody does.
Yeah, yeah. Did you learn to play by ear, or did you read music then?
No, I read music some. And,
okay.
Well, not the notes so much as the numbers with concertina music. It's all written with the numbers as well as the notes. And so it was more by the number, but it's still by the music. I learned a lot of them by... A lot of songs I played by ear, too. I know some songs I hear on the radio, and I'd shut the radio off so I wouldn't, if I was close to home, lose the melody and come home, pick up the concertina and play it.
Sure, sure.
But okay. Then some songs I'd have the music for, I'd work on forever and never get to play them good.
Yep. So you started playing some small jobs then, just yourself, or did you have a couple members join you, or how did that work out?
Some solo stuff, a lot of times just a drummer, but I had a little four-piece group for quite a few years.
And, okay.
They called it Concertina Power.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And for quite a while I had Marvin Walensky and Harold Hansen. Harold was one of the original Jolly Jokers, and he was a terrific sax man and a really nice singer, too.
Okay.
And then it kind of changed and ended up Ben Walensky on trumpet. And Ben was great to work with. Ray Biernot on sax. And the nice thing about it, Ray and Ben were both really good on the Polish style and the German style, which was really nice because playing around the Twin Cities here, it's nice to be able to do both styles.
Yes, I can believe that. You bet.
And I never did hire bass guitar or tuba. Well, it seemed like half time you'd be wrong, but I spent a lot of time working on the left hand on the concertina, and I got halfway decent on there, and worked out pretty nice. It seemed to get more melody instead of the because one thing seemed to notice a lot with a lot of organizations, the bass is a little bit strong, and put it this way, my preference was to have a softer bass, and that worked out great with the concertina.
And we
weren't big time by any sense of the word, but we played a lot, of weddings and birthday parties and anniversaries and things like that.
Sure.
And a lot of solo, a lot of two-piece, just a concertina and a drum.
Yeah. And
but it was a lot of fun.
I was going to say, it was very satisfying, huh?
Oh, yeah. I've got some pretty decent equipment and some pretty decent concertinas, and they don't owe me a thing.
Yeah.
Like
What have you got for concertinas, Art?
Well, I've got a 1963... Christy Hengel, key of C, and I've got an E flat that Christy built me. I think that was 73.
Okay.
I got that brand new, and then I've got a Pearl Queen triple, one of them abalone ones. And it's interesting. I don't understand how this came about because going by serial numbers, it's pretty old. But it's 104 key, and that's the only one I ran across, that older one. The rest of them were 102 key.
Okay.
And doing bass runs on the left hand, I use that extra key quite often. But that Pearl Queen was willed to me by a good friend, and I've probably played, I don't know, maybe I've played 50 of them. You've seen them all over the place.
Yeah.
And I have to say it's probably the best one I ever played, so I really treasure that.
You bet.
And then I've got three doubles, too. A Pearl Queen and a Paddock and a Lang.
Sure.
I've got one of them little old Langs with all them fancy flowers on, and there's one little petal on one end that's missing. Everything is totally intact.
I'll be darned.
But it's really nice. But the bellows need work on that one. But,
okay.
But anyway, I've had, through the years, probably 20, 30 different ones that I've bought and had for a few years and sold. I had a Sitek triple that I had for a long time, and that was a great little concertina, too. But I sold that a couple of years ago, and that's kind of fun to get different ones. And some of them, well, the thing is, the keyboards are not 100% standard by any means, and some of them fit a lot better. Some of them, the tilt of the buttons is a little different.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I've got six of them right now, and a couple of them are Stradivariuses, a couple Paddocks. I've got a Echo, a Gem Deluxe, and a little Arnold too. And so at any rate, you know, you grab one to the other and your fingers don't quite get on the right buttons right away because the keys are set a little different on each one.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some guys, like Dave Savada, you know Dave.
Yes, I know Dave real well.
It don't seem to matter which concertina he picks up. They all work pretty darn good for him.
Well, I think some of those guys got eyes in the tips of their fingers or something, huh?
That could be, yeah. That's the interesting thing about the concertina. You don't see what you're playing there.
No.
Like, just about every instrument that I know of, you can see where your hands are going.
Yeah.
But not on the concertina.
No. You have that eye-to-hand coordination, and so you read the music, and your fingers somehow feel the keys, and once you know where that number one or number two is, and your fingers line up, you know, your index finger, that takes care of the top range of buttons, and the little pinky finger, that goes way down in the bottom keys, and the other two go in the middle all over. So yeah, it takes a little bit of practice, a little bit of training to learn how to play them, but once you've gotten there.
An old expression you probably heard, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? The guy's trying to find his way to Carnegie Hall. How do you get there? Practice.
There you go. That is so true. Well, Art, and along the way, somehow you got tangled up with this concertina bowl then, huh?
Well, there was four of us that actually got started. A gentleman by the name of Leroy Lewandowski. He was from the Foley area originally, but he lived down here. And Leroy and Chester Kapinski, he's a drummer, good friend of mine, and Donnie Anderson, another good friend, and myself.
Okay.
Got talking about it, and we went to a meeting one day, and I can still hear Leroy's words. He says, I make a motion that we have a concertina party. An aisle chair, he says.
Wow.
You still hear his words played as day, and it went from there, and we started out. Admission $1.
Yeah.
That was for 3-4 years at least.
And, okay.
Well, it just grew and grew. We were 10 years in Foley. We had a little Knights of Columbus Hall there, but we outgrew that, and then they decided to sell it. And then Donnie Anderson and I went to Fridley Knights of Columbus, and Donnie was he loved the concertina, but he struggled, and he was very, very intelligent. There seemed like there was already anything that he couldn't do, but he had a tough time with the concertina. But if you remember about 5-6 years back, there was a gentleman that died in a motorcycle accident up near Flensburg there. That was Donnie Anderson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
My gosh, between him and I, and then Chester was with us, and Leroy had serious kidney trouble, and after about the third or fourth year, Leroy passed away, and then it was the three of us, and then later on, Chester decided to drop out for some reason or other. But nice we'd have stayed because... But anyway, Donnie and I pretty much took it from there, and we were in Fridley for 9 years.
Okay.
And we'd get enormous crowds there. The 1 year, I think, it was probably over 800, but not according to the tickets because it got so mobbed, and it was a really nice hall, but they didn't have a very good lobby there. And,
okay.
And a lot of people came in without paying.
Oh, sure.
A lot of people I knew, they didn't even realize they had to pay because it was so mixed up. But then they decided 1 year that they were going to rent their lower hall to the phone company to distribute the phone book. And they said, no, we could only have one room or else change the date. Well, we weren't in favor of that.
No.
And so Donnie and I went out to Blaine and made an agreement with them, and we've been there ever since.
Uh-huh. And this is going to be the 46th annual, huh?
Yeah.
That's getting pretty impressive. That's a good score already.
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm planning on making it to the 50th. I don't know. I'm not as young as I used to be, so I don't know if that's going to work or not. I hope so.
Well, you got to look up in the sky there and make an agreement with the guy up above and make a bargain with him, huh? Yeah. Well, Art, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. Then I'll come back to you, if that's all right.
Be fine.
All right. So Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market. And just a reminder that the St. Joe Meat Market makes venison and wild game sausage all year round. If you still have some trimmings taking up space in your freezer, think about bringing them into the St. Joe Meat Market this week and have some delicious products made for you to enjoy with family and friends. You can have those trimmings turn into any number of delicious products, from summer sausage, jerky, snacksters, bologna, hamburger, and the list goes on. Minimum batch sizes usually start with approximately 10 pounds of wild game per item. Our professional and courteous staff will take down your information and assist you with your order. Your order is usually complete and ready for pickup in 10 days or less. As always, for more great in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look us up on the web, www.stjoesofmeatmarket.com. And that's the St. Joe Meat Market, downtown St. Joe, Minnesota. Art, for being our guest on the show, and you've been here before, you know how it works. We put up that package there at the meat market, and along with Chasm, we'll bring that down to the Concertina Bowl on Saturday and hope that you and the wife and everybody around you enjoy it in good health. How has that worked out for you?
Well, we certainly will enjoy it, and I really appreciate that.
Yes, and your wife's name again?
Jeanette,
yes.
She's an Elmdale girl, too. She was a Molus.
Oh, okay, very good. So all those folks up in Elmdale, they can take a little pride in knowing that one of their finest is now with you, supporting you there at the Concertina Bowl. So that's great.
Yeah, well, I'd like to mention something, Sy. Speaking of Al Pitkowski.
Yeah.
If you go on YouTube.
Okay.
On the internet, and you look up Al Pitkowski and Lenny Gomolko.
Uh-huh.
Look at Gift of Life dance. It was 2016, I think.
Okay.
Concertina on Parade or something like that.
Okay.
Gift of Life dance. Lenny Gomolko and Al doing duets on there, and it's pretty darn nice.
Yeah. Well, we had Al on the program here a couple of weeks back, and what a nice gentleman. I mean, so personable over the air and full of information. And he's the featured artist this year at the Concertina Bowl, huh?
Yeah, that should be pretty exciting. And also John Dietz, he's a terrific player.
Yeah, I see you're going to have him there too. So yeah, right there alone is two great acts. And how is it set up? Do you have them on at the same time on different stages, or one alternating and then the next one, or how is it set up, Art?
Well, I'd like to have Al probably like 3 half-hour sets, something like that. He'll be in the main stage.
Okay.
In the middle of the afternoon, then on the south stage a little later on. And well, after Al's done on the main stage, then we'll probably have some players there and some, you know, some of the concertina players, and probably have John Dietz up there doing the Ernie Koopman tribute.
Sure.
And then Al in the south room, and then we want to have Al back on the main stage in the evening, too.
Sure,
so.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
But there'll be a lot of good players. And Craig Ebel MCs, he does just a great job.
Yes, he does, you bet. And he's going to be doing it again this year?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, perfect.
He's kind of grown dedicated to the concertina bowl, too. And I'm hoping that when I run out of gas, that he'll take over.
He'll keep her going.
That remains to be seen.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. I'll tell you, if ever I run into a music question, I need to know something about a band or a musician, he is my go-to guy. You know, if you see those TV shows where you can phone a friend, Craig is the guy that I phone when I need to know something, and he's never let me down yet.
Yeah, he's right. He's got a ton of information, and he's got a ton of recordings. He's got a great collection.
You bet. And I see you're going to have a concertina display there too, huh?
Yeah, Josh Selner is going to be there. He said it'll be a small display, but...
Okay.
Anyway, Josh has got a lot of concertinas. Of course, he won't bring them, but the gentleman, names escape me now. He inherited a collection there from Ambrose Caudette.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ambrose had about 50 concertinas and some great dandies, you know, good stuff, no junk.
Uh-huh.
And I guess he willed that all to Josh Selner, so Josh got all that, but I'm sure he won't be bringing that, but that'd be something else. And I imagine Mike Schmea will be there with his concertinas, and you know Mike.
Yes, we've had him on the program too here. Uh-huh. You bet.
Folks are welcome to bring their concertinas. If somebody wants to trade or sell something, they're welcome to bring that too. And
sure.
And there's a fellow from Milwaukee by the name of Brian O'Donnell that's got quite a few concertinas he's been trying to get rid of over the years, and there's a lesser market for the old concertinas, but Brian usually brings half a dozen or more, and so there's stuff to look at and to buy, so
okay,
it'll be good.
You bet.
I should mention that this is kind of a cute thing here, in a way. If you notice on the flyer, the little boy logo on there.
Yeah, I seen that.
Well, I suppose this has got to be 40 years ago, probably. I asked my daughter to draw me up something for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how it was? She was a teenager at the time, coaxed her for 45 minutes.
Yep.
And she finally gave in, and in five minutes or less, she drew him.
Oh, really?
And
you saved him.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And it got to the point other people were using him, so I finally had to record it.
Oh, yeah.
I had him record it, otherwise somebody else would have done it, and then I would have had to pay to use it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I've used that for my logo for my little band and mm-hmm. for the concertina bowl all these years. And it's turned out pretty nice. He got to be kind of recognizable.
You bet. Well, Art, for folks that have never been there or don't really know what to expect, the doors open at 12 o'clock, huh?
Actually, the doors open at 11.
At 11, okay.
And the music starts at 12.
Oh, okay. And this
you might know they're there at 10:30.
Yeah, I suppose, huh?
that's the way it goes.
You bet.
10:30, there's people already there. Make sure they get their favorite seat, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You bet. And this is going to be held at Brook Hall at Blainbrook in Minnesota here. And I see the address is 12,000 Highway 65, which is Central Avenue. And that's in Blaine, Minnesota. So
that's correct.
So the easiest way is if people are coming down, what, Highway 10 that turns into Highway 65?
Well, if you come Highway 10, like if you're coming from the north on 10,
mm-hmm.
northwest, you pick up Main Street in Anoka. That's Highway, I think it's 14,
mm-hmm.
14 or 16. Anyway, you go east on there. I'd go straight east, and about a block before you get to Central, you'll get to, there's a light at Ulysses Street, and you have to take that.
Okay.
The address is 12,000 Central Avenue or Highway 65, but you can't get in there from there. You have to use the service road, and that's Ulysses Street.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then if you're on Highway 65, if you're coming from north and you get off on Main Street and go west a block, if you're coming from the south, you come to 117th and take a left, and a block or so over, you'll pick up Ulysses Street and go north.
Okay, okay.
It's now, pretty easy to find, and I always make sure I got a sign out and back so that I put a sign, I made up a sign there, so it's pretty easy to catch your eye there.
You bet, you bet. Now,
I try to make everything, like the expression, user-friendly as much as I can.
There you go. And the proceeds?
Proceeds are, basically everything goes, the net proceeds go directly or indirectly to local charities.
Okay.
By way of the Knights of Columbus.
Okay, very nice.
And to this day, Cy, we've netted well over 100,000 in one day a year event.
Wow, that is awesome. That is
and
really good.
When we're in Fridley, or those 9 years in Fridley, I'm sure they must have netted about 20,000 too, because we had some great events over there too. So.
And you've got some other things, attractions too. You've got door prizes.
Yep, a lot of door prizes. And the first one of the day goes up $1 every year. So this year it's $46.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a lot of some local merchants, a lot of eating places, pizza places and restaurants, a lot of them. And,
sure.
And whatever merchants that will hand us something. And a lot of them are pretty darn nice door prizes, too. So.
Very good, very good. Cash bar, beer and mixed drinks available there?
Yep, And food available, and you got great beef sandwiches. Blainbrook provides the beef sandwiches, provides the beef for that, and the Knights Columbus serves it all. But,
okay.
They've got some really nice beef sandwiches. That's the main thing. And then all the fixings that go with it, of course. And then also Polish sausage and
sure.
hot dogs, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Admission?
Admission is $15 only.
Uh-huh.
So many places you go already, they're asking 20, and here we got 11 hours of music, plus all them nice door prizes.
Yeah.
For only $15.
You bet.
Really nice. And students, only $5.
Okay, 18 and under, $5, you bet. And kids under 12 are free.
Yep, that's correct.
You bet. Oh, that's wonderful. And I was impressed with all the musicians I met there last year. I mean, it just felt like if you weren't there, I mean, there was nobody missing. There was so many people there, musicians that I knew and that I got to meet. And so it was really wonderful. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, you'll enjoy meeting Al Totkowski. Very, very personable guy.
Yep. You bet. And for folks that don't know, he's from New York. He currently playing with the Jimmy Sturr Orchestra. I was going to have him on the show, I think, last week or this week, and currently on a cruise. I think he's just probably getting home from that cruise right now. But he's also played with the Dynatones and with Eddie Blazonczyk, too. So, a really talented player from what I gathered.
Well, I was looking at the resume or whatever you call it here, and I was going to send you one of them. I didn't get that far. He's been on 17 Grammy-nominated recordings.
Yes, He sent that to me. I've got it, and I don't have it in front of me. But
and 8 Grammy winners, yeah.
Yeah, he's just, I mean, it sounds like you're really missing the boat if you don't come and see him, because this is as close as he's been to Minnesota, the way it sounds.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it sounds like a great time. So we're looking forward to the Concertina Bowl. Art, I just got to ask you a little bit before we let you go. So did you know a guy by the name of Donnie Klossner?
I knew Donnie quite well, yes.
Yes. We attended his funeral service yesterday.
Oh, and, did you?
Yes. Uh-huh. It was just wonderful. I'll tell you, you know, it's a little bit of a trip from St. Joe to New Ulm. And so, but Donnie was such a dear friend, a good guy. And I called him a lot. And I've had him on the radio show here many times. And the last time was back in July, and everything was just fine yet. So I was so shocked to see that he had passed away. He was 89, but I thought he was 89 going on about 55 or so, because he was so young at heart yet. He was so good.
The last time we saw him, not this past summer, but summer before, they had a Babe Wagner tribute band.
Yes.
Down at Turner Hall.
Yep.
And he played on that.
Yeah.
And we were down there for that. That's the last time I got to see him.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, he could still handle that concertina. I mean, growing up and learning concertina in grade school, he was my idol. I wanted to play like him.
Well, he certainly was well. He knew the concertina very well, that's for sure.
He sure did. And having played with the Babe Wagner Band, Six Fat Dutchman, I mean, if I needed, besides Craig Ebel, if I needed to know something, especially about New Ulm musicians or anything happening in New Ulm, he was my go-to guy. He knew everything that I needed to know.
Yeah.
And
I like to say I stole a lesson from him one time, too.
You did.
He was working at Brown's Music, and I had my concertina down, Chrissy, was doing some work on. He says, but you can't be in here playing. So we went down to Brown's Music, and Donnie was working there, and we were fooling around and watching and paying attention to him, and I learned a lot from him. I got a real big lesson that day, and
yeah,
you know, just yep. like that.
Yeah, yeah, and just such a friendly, happy guy. And they set up the band yesterday at the funeral home. Was really a nice tribute to Donnie. They had a short service there, church service right in the funeral home, and it was at the Minnesota Valley Funeral Chapel, South Chapel in New Ulm. And then Rick Keene, I don't know if you know Rick, but he's a trumpet player from Pine Island, Minnesota. And
I've never met him.
He's very good. He played a lot of years with Ray Sands and the Polka Dots. And so at any rate, he headed it up. And they had 8-piece band set up there and played for an hour and a half. Oh, my gosh. You had to pinch yourself. You thought you died and went to heaven. The music was so good. Oh, those guys.
I can imagine.
Myron Muehlbauer and Jerry Kale on saxes. Jens Jensen and Rick Keene on the trumpets. Jerry Minar played concertina. I'm sure you'll see Jerry at the Concertina Bowl again on Saturday.
As far as I know, he plans on coming, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then in the back row, they had Jerry's son, Jay Minar, on keyboard, and they had Dave Krails. He's the drummer, used to drum for Jerry Schuft and Earl Schmidt. And then Gary Schrader, a tuba player. And am I forgetting somebody? There was a total of 8 musicians up there playing, and my gosh, they had the Babe Wagner stage music stands, the fronts set up there, said the big B and W on the fronts painted on the original music stands, and they Jerry Minar, I think, owns the library now, so they played out of the Babe Wagner library. And they played that Westphalia Waltz and the Guido Polka and some of those standards. Oh, my gosh, they were just beautiful.
Yeah, it sure is. I don't know where you can and go and hear that kind of music any nowadays anymore.
No, I mean, I did not know that this was going to be. We just we went out of respect to Donnie, just such a good friend, and then we're treated to this on top of it with a luncheon there, and very, very enjoyable. So, yeah. So I just had to ask you. I know you go back to the days of probably Elmer Scheid and some of the other great concertina players.
Oh, yeah. Elmer Scheid, Jerry Shuft, Johnny Gogg, Ernie Koopman. They were all favorites. And, but, well, back then, there weren't really any of the Polish style, Chicago style Polish bands. There weren't any of them around.
No, no.
And of course, wife and I, we enjoyed the Polish very much too.
Yeah.
Donnie Klausner was at the Concertina Bowl twice, I believe. One time him and Jerry Shuft came there.
Oh, yeah?
And they both played that day. And then one time had Donnie with his one-man band equipment there.
Okay,
and
sure.
Wally Pickle was with him that day.
Oh, okay.
And, well, that was pretty nice.
You bet.
He always did a great job. And Wally Pickle, he was a favorite of everybody.
I can believe that. You bet. Well, Art, we're going to have to let you run. Before we let you run, I always ask all the guests if they've got a special memory that as you look back over your lifetime, and it doesn't even have to be about music, but if there was anything that really stands out in your mind that you'd like to share with the listeners, what have you got for us today, Art?
Well, I don't really have any. There were so many good ones, but if you want to hear a funny story, one time I played Gene Walensky and Lawrence O'Hara, and I played for a masquerade dance out at the VFW out in Golden Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were setting up, and they come up and asked if we judged the costumes. Well, yeah, we said we could do that. Well, 5-10 minutes later, they come up and said, oh, we're going to have someone else do it.
Okay.
Well, then the best thing in the world happened. They came back. Let's see. Yeah, they came back. And they asked us to do it again. That was crazy. And the next thing you know, they changed their mind. No, they're going to have somebody else. That was the best thing that happened.
Okay.
Because it was unbelievable good costumes that they had there. Well, when the judging took place, between first and second, I don't know which one Ida chose, but this is one of those places that people enjoyed fighting, I guess. And there were disputes, and the next thing you know, there was a brawl. I bet there's 20 people fighting in it.
Oh.
It was funny as could be, because you see these great big women and these tiny little men. Well, it was just the opposite, because they were all in costumes.
Sure, sure.
And it was just a unbelievable brawl. And then finally they got broke up, and next thing you know, it was going again.
Oh, my gosh.
But if we'd have done the judging, I don't know where we'd have been at. Because
you'd have probably been in the middle of the brawl.
Yeah, and we had some... Really not. I know Lawrence had just bought a brand new, beautiful Christy Hengel E flat concertina. And Gene, I don't know if he had his Hengel yet or not. I had a Paddock at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows what would have happened?
Yeah.
It's funny. It's nothing nice about it, but it sticks in my mind. It was pretty crazy.
Yep. All right. Well, with that, we're going to let you run, Art. We look forward to seeing you Saturday at the Concertina Bowl. Again, we invite all of the folks to come down. Look for a jam-packed house, and the more the merrier, they say, right?
Absolutely.
You bet.
It'll be fun. It'll be busy talking and smiling. If I'd get a dollar for every smile, we would really, really be rich.
You bet. Well, thanks for taking time out to tell us all about it, Art, and... you have yourself a great day, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Sounds good, Si. Thanks a whole lot for having me on again. Appreciate it.
You bet. So with that, we're going to let you run, and I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment.
Okay.
And there he goes, Art Ojado, our 536th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play. And we're going to feature by music by Ernie Koopman in just a couple moments here, as John Dietz is going to be playing and playing music of Ernie Koopman. Larry Rezavian is Out of Town Checks with our theme wrapping up right there, wrapping up our 536th edition. Art Ojado, very, very nice person, organizing and putting on this big concertina bowl. Going to be happening on Saturday, the 25th, and again, starting at 12 noon at Blaine Brook Hall. 28 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, time for just a couple of selections by Ernie Koopman and the Jolly Brewers. Going to start out with one called the Broken Hearted Polka. Thank you. Ernie Koopman and the Jolly Brewers with the Broken Hearted Polka, taking us 29 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. 10 degrees below zero, our current temperature here in Albany. And John Dietz is going to be doing a tribute show to Ernie Koopman. John, of course, purchasing the Ernie Koopman Library, the Jolly Brewers Library, from Dale Damon a few years back. And John, very, very passionate about Ernie Koopman and the Jolly Brewers. Talked to John about it and grew up knowing Ernie Koopman, real close to Ernie, and just has a lot of respect for Ernie Koopman, of course, deceased now, but be worth seeing, yes, the nice tribute that John is going to do to Ernie Koopman. And that's all going to happen at the Concertina Bowl coming up on Saturday in Blaine, Minnesota. Well, we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that's always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours. And Jeannie texting me a copy for today says, during this cold, blustery weather, Jeannie B says, maybe you might want to think about that warm breeze, awesome sights and delicious meals on board the beautiful Norwegian Jade cruise ship. Join the group that will hop on board Jeannie B's Tours 2026 Panama Canal Cruise. That's February 12th to the 27th in 2026. Attend the meet and greets of your choice on January 29th at Jill's Cafe in Richmond, or from 9:30 until 11:30 at Sal's Bar and Grill in St. Joe. Well, first of all, Jill's Cafe is from 9:30 till 11:30 on the 29th, and then Sal's Bar and Grill at St. Joe from 2 to 4 that same day. And you can see the narrated slide tour presentation for Jeannie B's Panama Canal Cruise. Also included at these times will be tours with destinations like Alaska, Ireland, Canadian Rockies, New England, Cape Cod, historic Savannah, Danube River Cruise, Germany, Austria, and, of course, the Panama Canal Cruise. On January 30th, mark your calendars, Jeannie B invites you to join her for a beverage and roll at Tutti Frutti Kitchen in Sauk Center from 9 until 10:30. And then at the Traveler's Inn restaurant in Alexandria from 1 until 2:30 on that same day. The 2025 Motor Coach Tours will be presented at these meets and greets. Now is the time to plan your 2025 and 2026 tours. Jeannie likes to say, remember, seeing is believing. And that's information for you from Jeannie B's Tours. And of course, like I've always mentioned to you, if you have any questions, if I talk too fast, you didn't get some of the information, give Jeannie a call. And her phone number, 320-345-1581. She'd be happy to talk to you, send you out brochures, invite you into the office, give you a presentation one-on-one if you need it, so that you can understand all of the trips. So Jeannie is just so personable. She'll do that for anybody. So again, join her at one of the meet and greets or give her a call. Jeannie B's Tours, proudly bringing us our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Time for just a couple more selections. Ernie Koopman and the Jolly Brewers, a nice waltz tune, The Huntsman's Waltz. Thank you. Ernie Koopman and the Jolly Brewers, a great old-time waltz there, a standard one called the Huntsman's Waltz. Boy, that clock on the wall never stands still on Sundays when we're doing our musical treat for Dancing Feet. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. Here's Ernie Koopman, and you'll probably hear John Dietz do this one on Saturday at the Concertina Bowl, one called the Grasshopper Polka. Ernie Koopman and the Jolly Brewers, a nice concertina solo there with one called the Grasshopper Polka. Wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.